show, you know, to have one person playing Gordon Hirabayashi in this.
Well, in the early 1990s, one-person shows were not as common as they are now.
Mm.
I had seen a friend, a wonderful, pioneering Asian-American performer, Jude Nerita.
And oh, yes, yes.
You know,
yeah.
Jude?
Yeah.
And hers was one of the first one-person shows I ever saw, and it was amazing seeing an Asian woman, American woman, perform five or six different roles. And then I also saw a beautiful show called, I think it was called Time Flies When You're Alive. It's by Paul Link, and a beautiful show about how his wife suffered through cancer, I believe it was. And
so you were inspired by these shows?
I was inspired by the format because, like I said, they weren't as common as they are now. And then I saw a few more. And then I came across Gordon's story, and immediately I thought, what a great one-person show this would be for an Asian-American actor.
Mm.
We do not have the opportunities in theater very much as Asian Pacific American performers to really show the length and breadth and depth of what we can do. And it struck me immediately that not only would this be kind of an amazing way to tell Gordon's story, but also give an Asian American chance to do something really virtuosic. And I've had, you know, several actors that have done the show and have had that opportunity to really show what they're capable of. So that's made me very proud.
So what is the story?
Gordon's story, I thought it would be great to tell it as a one-person show because I thought that, you know, as a one-person show, Gordon could then embody in his memory and in his actor's body all these characters, numerous characters that he encountered on his journey to win justice for himself. And these included such an array of characters, you know, both American and Japanese immigrants and people from different parts of the country with different accents. And so I thought it would be a fascinating way to tell the story.
Well, how much research did you do? And tell us a little bit about Gordon. I mean, what are some of the challenges he went through?
Well, Gordon was a student at the University of Washington in Seattle. He was in his early 20s during World War II, and when the first order came out for a curfew for all people of Japanese ancestry on the West Coast, they had to be indoors, you know, at I think it was 8 o'clock. And Gordon, of course, being an American-born citizen, he was staying at the University of Washington at the YMCA with international students. And the great irony was, of course, that they were free to stay in the library and study or stay in the coffee shop and study. They would study together, these guys that stayed at the YMCA. And Gordon, the American-born American citizen, was the one that, because of this curfew order, had to run back to the dorm. And that really rankled him. He said, here I am, an American citizen, and I'm the one having to run back to be at the Y by 8 o'clock. And then, of course, the much worse infringement on his constitutional rights followed soon after, which was the evacuation order, or really it was the order for, you know, mass exclusion of Americans of Japanese ancestry from their homes and communities on the West Coast to go into the camps. So Gordon was not initially going to disobey either of these orders. He went along with both of them. And he came to a point where he said, I cannot go through with this. I am an American citizen. I am entitled to due process of the law before the government deprives me of liberty or deprives me of possessions. And he decided to challenge both the curfew. Of course, the curfew came out first, so he challenged that one first. And then the exclusion orders.
Well,
but what I love about the story was that this was a gradual enlightenment for him. He was not intending to disobey these orders, and he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with his conscience until he came to the point, you know, that point that changes all our lives when we say we can't do this and stay whole. And so he defied these orders without really having a game plan as to what he was going to do after he defied them. And it was a story that greatly appealed to me because I thought this is a story that any of us can identify with. You know, this is an ordinary student at the University of Washington. He's struggling with paying his tuition. He's struggling with working out his religious and spiritual beliefs, his political beliefs during a very turbulent time in American history. It's something that I think we can all identify with in our own college years. And then he's thrust into this extraordinary situation where he has to make a life-changing decision.
And it did change his life. And we have our own local hero in Portland, too, with Minoru Yasui, who also challenged the curfew. And it really connects, you know, the Northwest together, I think, these stories. All the West Coast, really. You know, it's still pertinent. The Gordon story, Minoru Yasui story, is still important to, and it's pertinent to the civil rights movement still. And racial profiling is still in the news. How does that connect with your play?
I think that, you know, while I've been very thrilled that the play has been going around the country, I've been very horrified, as I'm sure we all are, to see how the circumstances of the play are so real today. I think, you know, with Donald Trump's candidacy, I read that hate crimes against Muslims and Muslim Americans have doubled.
Yes.
And it's so horrifying to think that these circumstances, which at the time I was thinking I was writing as part of a period piece, are so prevalent now, and so it makes me very emotional. I think we're rehearsing down here in Los Angeles for the Portland production, and we've been remarking in rehearsal just how current so many of these scenes are and how disturbing that is. So I am hoping that Gordon Hirabashi's story and Min Yasui's story, at a time when I think we greatly need these stories to give us hope, can be spotlighted in Portland in a way that is constructive and uplifting to all of us.
Well, your play, Hold These Truths, will also have talkbacks with our own community activists here, emceed by Chisao Hata and many memorable people like Peggy Nagai and Nikki Najima Lewis and, June Schumann. I mean, a lot of people here. And so it's great to have that connection with Portland, too. In the final moment here, Gordon Hirabayashi had a lot of memorable quotes, and I was reading a few of them. How much of what he had to say in public have you put into the solo show, Hold These Truths?
That goes back to your question, which I didn't get to. I'm sorry.
Research,
about,
yes.
The research for it, yes. I did a lot of research at the University of Washington, where Gordon's wartime letters are housed. A wonderful, wonderful friend of his, Eleanor Ring, who is a Portland resident and who was planning on attending the play, donated all of the letters that she received from Gordon during World War II. They were good friends, and he corresponded with her while he was in prison and while he was on his hitchhiking trip. And so all of those letters I studied over and over again, and they gave me the voice of the younger Gordon, which I hope is represented in the play. And I also did a lot of research, including Peter Iron's book, Justice at War, which chronicles the stories of Gordon and of Min and of Fred Korematsu and Mitsue Endo, who all legally challenged what happened to the Japanese Americans in one way or another.
Well, I'm excited to see Hold These Truths and to see you, Jeannie. It's been way too long.
Oh, I'm so excited to see you again, Dume, and so excited to return to Portland.
Well, it's exciting. So the Northwest Stories series debuts at the Portland Center stage at the Armory with Jeannie Sakata's Hold These Truths play, inspired by the life of civil rights hero Gordon Hirabayashi. And previews begin October 1st, opening October 7th, and closes November 13th. Shows are at the Ellen By Studio at PCS, and you can go to pcs.org or call them at 503-445-3700 for reservations. And it's located at 128 Northwest Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. You can get all that info at pcs.org or stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Jeannie Sakata, looking forward to seeing you, and congratulations on the success you've had with Hold These Truths. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to coming to Portland.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll talk with we'll talk about The Lower Rooms, a new indie film that's won awards at the Oregon Independent Film Festival. But first, we're going to check in with Membership Central to see if we have tickets left for Hold These Truths. And we also have two books to offer. One is Nisi Shaw's neo-Victorian novel, Everfair, set in the Belgian Congo. Here's a clip from my talk with her last week about why she chose steampunk for her novel, Everfair.
Oh, this is Ken. I'm here with Teresa in our Membership Drive Central. This is the KBOO Fall Membership Drive. If you're not currently a KBOO member and you'd like to become one, give us a call at 877-500-5266, or you could join us online at kboo.fm. You're listening to D.May Roberts Stage and Studio, and you just heard a wonderful interview with Jeannie Sakata, who's doing a one-person play called Hold These Truths about civil rights hero Gordon Hirabayashi. And yes, we do still have tickets available for that. You can give us a call at $6.25 a month minimum pledge, and it's the matching period. So every dollar, every penny that you give between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m., in other words, we've got about another 20 minutes to go, is matched dollar for dollar, penny for penny, dime for dime, quarter for quarter. So that $6.25 a month contribution, you not only get tickets to Hold These Truths, and that runs... It's at Portland Center Stage, and it's running pretty much all of the middle of October, from the middle of October to early November, and you can go to any of those performances. That's $6.25 a month, but it's doubled. So in other words, KBOO is getting $13 a month. You're only giving us $6.25 a month. Everybody benefits, and you get tickets to this great show. That's 877-500-5266.
Such a deal. Our matching period goes on for another 18 minutes here on KBOO Portland, and you can join and get your contribution doubled. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266, doubling the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. And I would like to suggest that you get yourself a KBOO hoodie. We do have Nisi Shaw's book, Everfair. The setting kind of reminds me of Pensions Against the Day, a book which I've enjoyed very much, and I haven't looked at Everfair yet, but you can get your copy by calling us. 877-500-5266 is the number, and it's just a matter of spending a couple, 3 minutes on the phone with our friendly phone answers, and we fill out a carbon copy in triplicate, and we mail it out to you. It's as easy as that. Have you got 3 minutes? Have you got 5, 10, 20 bucks? Because if you do, you'll probably have that amount next month, and you can be a sustaining member by calling us. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. I'd like to thank Tammy, who's a new contributor from Portland. Tammy joins Ike and Cole and many others who have called in and become members or renewed their membership today. Once again, 877-500-5266. Ken Jones is here.
Oh, Teresa, I should mention that if you want any of these premiums during D-May's show, it's probably a good idea to call us as early as possible. We had the Little Shop of Horror tickets, and those went extremely quickly at Portland Center Stage. I do have the dates here for Hold These Truths. It starts October 1st, and it runs through November 13th. So there's quite a range there, and those are available for $6.25 a month minimum membership price, and it's doubled, as we mentioned. The movie, the book that we mentioned, Nisi Shaw's Everfair, which is that very interesting steampunk look at the Belgian Congo at the turn of the 20th century. And yeah, Pynchon covers that quite a bit in several of his books, including V and Against the Day, as you mentioned, Teresa. This is a very interesting book, and that's available again for $6.25 contribution per month, becoming a renewing member. And you can do that through credit card, debit card, or electronic funds transfer. Our volunteer staff at the phones right now. They're standing by, sitting by, 877-500-5266. They'll walk you through the whole process, or you can go online at kboo.fm.
So in the final moments here, I just want to encourage everybody to call KBOO and re-up or get your membership at 1-877-500-5266. And I want to just play a short clip of Niecy Shaw talking about why she chose steampunk for her book Everfair.
Steampunk genre is very definitely a 19th century glimpse at what could have been. And to me, focusing on the human rights disaster that was King Leopold's reign over the Congo was just a natural thing. I mean, I could not avert my eyes from this tragedy where millions of people died, and I thought it was important to redeem it.
That's art telling a story that is very difficult to tell. And one of the other stories that is difficult to tell is Hold These Truths, Gordon Hirabayashi's solo show at Portland Center Stage. So I hope you get those tickets and get us closer to that $250 match. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio is Barry Hunt, Artistic Director of Soweilu Theater. Hey, Barry. Great to have you back.
Hi, Dee Mae.
And, you know, you are also telling a difficult story, too, mm-hmm. but through art, which is a beautiful way to use your art. And joining us via phone is Lobsang Tenzin. Hey, Tenzin, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank good to hear your voice. It's been a while, Tenzin.
I know. Good to hear your voice, too.
Well, I'm going to start
Hey, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hello.
I'm going to start with you, because Soweilu's been making films out of stage plays for some time now. Your new one is an adaptation of The Lower Rooms, which stars Tenzin, and we'll talk to him in a second. Tell us about the story in the film.
The Lower Rooms is the story of a teenage girl set in Portland and her relationship with a survivor of political torture. So Tenzin plays that character. It's not really a film about the torture or the politics or that.
It's really the aftermath.
It's very much their relationship and her curiosity into his circumstances and where that takes the two of them.
And he sort of helps her too because she's in an abusive relationship. Is that correct?
She gets her boyfriend gets involved in a cult, and so the author's drawing parallels between, you know, circumstances that any teen in Portland might run into and the larger political goings on in the world.
You know? And you adapted that from the play version.
Yes, it was a play by Eliza Anderson.
And you actually adapted it to fit Tenzin's heritage as a Tibetan refugee.
Exactly. It was 20 years ago the writer had set the character in South America. And when we talked to her about making the film, she said, hey, look over at China, see what's going on. And then I came to you and you recommended Tenzin.
Because, I taught briefly at one term. I taught Tenzin one term at Mount Hood Community College as a video. He's an incredible filmmaker in of itself. And he's actually, you're in New Mexico right now. Still studying filmmaking, aren't you, Tenzin?
That's correct. I'm still in Santa Fe University in art design and still pursuing my film.
Well, you know, but you're also an incredible actor. And so you have the lead role and you won Best Actor at the Oregon Independent Film Festival. Congratulations. But how much of you is in there?
Thank you
very much. Oh, you're welcome. And Tibetan identity, how much of that is in the film that you have brought into it in your character?
I think this character is basically focused on me, and I think it's also good that I don't really have to act something totally different than somebody else's character. And me being Tenzin, I'm actually acting as a Tibetan character, going with the flow with the movie. You know, it's just like I wanted. It's people have heard so many things about Tibetan, but this is a really good movie that actually Barry has been put. My character as a Tibetan and how, you know, the two different cultures actually meet together and solve the problem, you know?
Well, you know, sometimes it's harder to act as yourself, Tenzin, than to play a whole nother different character.
Say that again one more time.
Sometimes it's harder to be yourself, you know, when you're acting.
Correct.
I found with Tenzin, though, that Tenzin, my experience with you is you're such a dynamic and charismatic person, human, and you understood film so well, and you allowed yourself to simply live truthfully. He also took classes with me for a year before, and that might have helped a
little. It was a long process making this film, wasn't it? And you have some co-producers or of the film. Barry, you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, the narrative is a small local production company. So Sewelu Theater partnered with the narrative, and that's Tyler Warren and Nathan Wilson. And Tenzin got to work very closely with them throughout the process.
Tenzin, what did you learn throughout this whole process?
Oh, it's such an amazing, voyage for like a couple of weeks. I worked with, I took Meisner classes with Barry Hunt at Sewelu Theater and started learning how to face camera. And I was thinking, like, you know, I'm being a filmmaker, I was thinking, like, it's always good to, I'm always behind the camera, it's always good to be at the front of the camera. And when Barry told me that, you know, he's going to do the theater first, I was just a little bit scared and nervous. Like, how do I actually memorize all these things? And then Barry said he's going to make the feature, and I feel more relaxed. And I learned so many things from each, that we have Jenna and Kelly and Kel Lambert and Tyler. They're amazing actors. I was a little bit, intimidated by their acting. You know, and then they were so good at it. And then and it's amazing that, you know, we all work together. We always work together. We're always trying to understand who that person is. And they're also trying to understand me, who I'm actually being in a character. And that actually makes me easier to act and to perform in front of the camera. But sometimes it's, Barry knows sometimes when the big word, English big word comes in my head, then I have to act. I have to, English as a second language, but I think the word in my head, I have to perform. So it's kind of a little bit of like a couple fractions delay. I have sometimes hard time understanding the word. So, but it was amazing. And also I learned something like, you know, being a Tibetan also, we're always looking for like, you know, oh, we have to have a free Tibet, safe Tibet. We have to get our country back. But I also learned something when I actually started learning acting is like, I have to understand Chinese people first in order to tell them what actually went in Tibet, you know. So it's kind of a learning process of me being as a human being and also being an activist, being an actor, you know, being a filmmaker. It's always amazing and learning process when I was actually on the film set.
Well, it sounded like it went very, very well. Do you love better, filmmaking or acting?
I think it's a one big family. It doesn't matter whether you're actually in front of the camera or the back of the camera. I would love to do acting any time of my life, and I would like to make an amazing film. And I would like to tell stories. You know, I would like to. I wanted to inspire. It's not that I wanted to be a famous actor. I want to be a good actor. You know, I wanted to inspire other Tibetan youngsters. There is another way that you can be an artist. You know, because right now everybody is. Being an activist, you don't really have to go and demonstration and do something else. But being yourself and learning who you are, and then you can actually bring Tibetan issues through acting.
Well, I think being an art activist is an amazing thing, you know, and putting your activism into your art. And I want to say, Barry, you know, congratulations on being nominated for Best Picture and Best Drama of the Lower Rooms at Oregon Independent Film Festival. What are the future plans for the film?
For the film, continue the festival process. Usually you ride that out for about a year and then looking for distribution. We made a previous play into a film, The Further Adventures of Anson Buell in No Man's Land. That had its journey, won Best Cinematography in Santa Fe a year ago, and then found distribution. So we have one film in distribution, so we have high hopes that this one will have a life as
well. So you might have some other stage adaptations then for
We do have a third one planned.
Okay, yeah. All right. What is it?
It's Luke Heyerman's piece. I'm sorry. The Brightest Thing in the Dark Tonight, again, produced some 20 years ago. So we're going back to these early journeys with writers and giving their stories a new life.
So Soweiler Theater is actually becoming a production company then, of a media production company.
It's a combination. Yeah.
So in the final few seconds here, Tenzin, are you coming back to Oregon? I know you're coming back for the showing this Friday at 9:45 at Clinton Street, but after you're done with your degree, are you moving back to Portland?
Oh, I think the Portland is kind of my second home besides from Lhasa, the Tibet. Definitely, I would love to come back to Portland and wanted to see all these amazing artists because while I was in Portland, I only studied. I never actually went through filming, and now I have so many. I think it's when I'm coming back to Portland, I see a totally different image of perspective, how I'm going to shoot these things and write a story. And yes, I would definitely come back to Portland.
Well, I have a bit of pride when I follow your career and as you're studying in Santa Fe and you post things like, oh, I work with Tina Fey or I work with George R.R. Martin. And, you know, so I'm really proud of you, Tenzin. So, you know, I'm very happy for your
thank
success.
You
Lobsang Tenzin and Barry Hunt, thank you for joining us on Stage and Studio. And I'm going to give more shout outs to the film. We have a pair of tickets to offer to the one showing of The Lower Rooms at the Oregon Independent Film Festival this Friday, September 29th at 9:45 p.m. 23rd, September 23rd at 9:45 p.m. at Clinton Street Theater. That's located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. Thanks for joining us on this membership drive show. Please share your support of KBOO and Stage and Studio by calling now at 1-877-500-5266 or KBOO. We have tickets to shows, Hold These Truths, books including Peter Ho Davies' The Fortunes, and we don't have time for the clip, but you know, just trust me, it's a wonderful book and about Chinese American history. Let's check in with Membership Central.
Dee Mae Roberts on KBOO Portland. Okay. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I'm here with Ken Jones, and we have
just four minutes remaining
in our matching period in which you can double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. We have just $480 to raise, and you can be one of the heroes that gets us over that top. An anonymous donor has made a very generous offer to match the $250 in donations called in during Stage and Studio, so you can call in right now and double the impact of your gift. The number 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. I'd like to thank Tammy for calling in. And Tammy, would you call us back? We missed part of the information on your call. Just a couple things we need. So you can join Tammy calling us 877-500-KBOO, Ken Jones.
Hey, Teresa, we have tickets to that film that we just heard about with Lobsang Tenzin, the Tibetan American actor, who was talking with Dee Mae and Barry Hunt, artistic director of Soweiler Theater. The movie, again, is The Lower Rooms, and that's playing at the Clinton Street Theater this Friday, the 23rd at 9:45 p.m. We have a pair of tickets for a minimum contribution of $5 a month. You can give us a call at 877-500-5266, and the folks at the phone will walk you through the process. You could take that out, a monthly donation from your credit card, debit card, or your checking account.
This is Dee Mae here. Have the Hold These Truths gone, the tickets for that?
Oh, no, we have that too, Dee Mae.
So let's have somebody call in now and pick up those tickets because, you know, are we close to the $250 match?
We're doing pretty well. We still need to raise a bit more, but
bit more,
we've got those calls coming in.
1-877-500-5266. You don't want to miss Hold These Truths. It's an important part of Japanese American history with, you know, a definite Portland tie. And we have to remember this history so we don't repeat it because it's happening now all over the country with racial profiling of Muslim Americans. So give us a call now at 1-877-500-5266. You know, art is always better when there is an activism component to it. And Hold These Truths and Lower Rooms both have activism components to it that are just so important right now to know about the refugee crisis, to know about, you know, racial profiling. All of these things are important, and there's always talkbacks at a lot of these events, and you get to communicate and talk with people and organize in a different sort of way through the arts. 1-877-500-5266. Call us now.
Dimay, we also have, you mentioned the theater tickets, which we still have. We also have the two books that we're offering, and you had talked about Niecy Shaw's Everfair.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was grabbed really quick last week. It's a steampunk genre, but it tells the story of the Belgian Congo. And it's such a, you know, about this utopian place called Everfair. And it's an amazing place that's located in the Congo, where a lot of the Congolese had to, you know, escape to, and they found this utopia. 1-877-500-526 in the last few seconds here. Give us a call. Show your support of KBOO and Stage and Studio and arts programming. And also pick up some tickets to Hold These Truths at Portland Center Stage and the Lower Rooms this Friday at the Oregon Independent Film Festival at Clinton Street. At, you know, 877-500-5266. Let's match that $250.
You know, Dimay, I started reading at the top of the hour Niecy Shaw's Everfair, about 30, 40 pages in.
Oh, it's dynamic.
It's a real page-turner. Oh, it's a steampunk look at the Belgian Congo, where King Leopold II wiped out about half the country at that time, around 1900 to 1895 to about 1902 or so. And this is kind of an alternative history, speculation.
That's
speculative
right.
Fiction, steampunk, with airships. There's a nice blurb from Vonda McIntyre.
It's a beautiful looking book too. I have to say,
solid, satisfying hardbacks too.
And you can get them for a minimum pledge of five. Oh, it's actually, these are $6.25 a month, and plus, as we keep mentioning, your $6.25 a month, or however much you give as a KBOO member, is matched dollar for dollar up until 11 o'clock. Which I think we've got about
or
another
noon.
Minute to go.
Yeah,
or noon.
So,
I'm sorry.
So can you
noon.
Give the full amounts though for people, just so that they know how much that ends up being?
Oh, the full amounts of what?
Oh, for the thank you gifts. So is it a minimum level of what?
$6.25 a month or $75 a year.
Okay, thank
for,
you.
For both of the yeah. books, and $6.25 for the theater tickets.
Which is also $75?
$75 a year.
Oh, what
a
deal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the tickets alone are actually almost full price when you went through this membership. 1-877-500-5266. They are good deals.
Oh, we have the movie too, The Lower Rooms,
right.
which you just talked
for
about.
For $60 pledge,
that's
right?
Five, yeah, $60. $5 a month, and again matched dollar for dollar up until noon. I think we might be able to stretch it a few seconds.
Yeah,
over
let's
there.
Do just like a few seconds, because in this time remaining, it would be great to make that match at $250 and give us a call 1-877-5